up to as a child, climbing trees, swimming in quarries, long days out on your own. Are the present generation of children playing it far too safe? Well, a new book, a surprise hit in Litigation Happy America, advocates super gluing your fingers together, playing with fire, making a bomb in a bag, and even throwing things from a moving car. It's Guy Vitale, the author of 50 Dangerous Things You Should Let Your Children Do. And I'm absolutely delighted, Guy, that you're on the line and joining us live from San Francisco. Is that correct tonight?
That's correct. Good to talk to you, Jonathan.
How are you?
Excellent. It couldn't be a nicer day out here.
Oh, fantastic. Whereas over on the east coast of America, I know they've got terrible snowstorms and all the rest of it that have been sweeping in. So it's a pretty good day for you over there anyway.
Yes, we're just suffering along in the balmy summer heat.
Oh, good Lord, don't, honestly. It's pretty chilly over here, over this side of the world. Now, I'm delighted that you're on here, because if we'd spoken about this book without speaking about you, I think there probably would have been absolute outrage on the phones of people saying, how on earth can you suggest that children should be able to super glue their hands together, possibly, you know, play with all kinds of matter of things as well, and get themselves into danger. You've written this book. What was the whole purpose behind writing it?
Well, the real reason to write a book like this is to stimulate exactly this kind of discussion. It's really about the observation that kids aren't getting to do the kinds of things that we did as kids, and that may well be at the root of creating intelligent, creative individuals.
And do you think that we live in a society now where our children are just far too pampered, mollycoddled, you know, wrapped up in blankets, away from any kind of danger?
Well, yes, obviously I do. I think that we've swung a little too far. I mean, every tragedy that happens is conflated or inflated on the news, and we hear about it no matter where it is in the world. And it seems like there's something happening every day. But really, this is the safest time in the history of civilization to be a child. So those overprotective measures that we take are actually producing less safe adults and teens, because they have no experience with these simple activities like climbing a tree or driving a nail.
Now, some of these things that you say are quite simple here. I've got the contents of your book here. Climbing a tree, you know, spend an hour blindfolded, throw rocks and all that kind of thing that go on. Put strange stuff in the microwave. That sounds fun to me. But then you go to other things like, you know, squashing pennies on a railroad track, throwing things from a moving car. Surely there must have been fairly big gasps from people when they saw that you're writing about those kind of things, because immediately people say, well, that's just silly, isn't it? Throw something from a moving car. You wouldn't want your kids down by a railway track putting pennies down on the line.
Yes, I heard from a mother in the UK during an interview who actually called me a blithering idiot for suggesting that children should be allowed to throw things from a moving car. But if she had just taken a moment to even read a little bit of the description of the activity, you'll see that what we're throwing from the car are purely biodegradable things, grapes, oranges, a bit of paper. The point of that exercise is to give children a platform of scientific inquiry where they can understand air as a fluid, which is hard to do if you're just always encountering air at walking speed. So the car itself becomes an opportunity to learn something new about the environment.
So would it be fair to say, and this is why I think it's good to have you on the line, that somehow the titles of each of these pages, I mean, one of them is Poison Your Friends, which immediately you might think, good God, you know, what on earth is this? Is this American advocating? But this is actually salt cookies, aren't they?
That's true. That's
rather
true.
Than arsenic or anything like that.
Exactly. And in fact, the titles are deliberately provocative, because if I speak to a child and I say, I'm going to teach you how to focus and pay better attention in school, they're going to run away screaming. But if I say, I'm going to teach you how to whittle with a pocket knife, I'm going to have their undivided attention for 4 hours, easily. So the titles need necessarily to kind of engage the imagination of the children. And, you know, if the parents or the pundits, if you will, read the worst into them, that's because they're projecting their fears into that experience and not seeing it as an opportunity for learning.
I spoke to a lot of people in our newsroom here, and went up to a lot of parents as well that we've got in the newsroom, and sort of said, you know, what about all these? And licking a 9-volt battery was one of them. And they went, oh, gosh, yes, I remember doing that. I remember, and I would not condone anyone doing this, but when I was younger, I think I was about 12 or 13, I had braces as a child, and I can remember that I wired a friend of mine, with my knowledge, wired my braces up to the electric circuit with the two batteries on it that you get in a physics class, purely to see whether the current would run across the braces. And my mum went absolutely spare about how I'd killed the nerves in the teeth and they were going to go black and all this kind of thing. But it's those kind of things that children do, isn't it? We've got a situation now where if children were to take some of these risks and to do these things, and I appreciate as well that what you're saying here is, you know, when we are talking about things like, you know, throwing things from cars, we're not talking about on a big motorway and like a book or an anvil or something, but when you're talking about all of these kind of things, is the concern now that a parent would immediately stop a child? I mean, whose fault is it? Is it society? Is it the parents? Is it the society that we live in? I mean, we've had callers, you talk about they've been spray painting, they've poured paint on a moving train. If we saw a child doing that now, they'd be a yob. We'd want to call the authorities.
I think that the reaction from the parents often comes from a kind of fear-based parenting stance where any harm whatsoever is considered too much harm. And the fact that they might get a bump or a scrape is somehow not acceptable cost of childhood, or it's not considered a learning experience anymore. You know, these situations or these topics in the book here really are about helping the parent and the child have a rational discussion about the dangers inherent in each of the activities and how to mitigate those risks together. I mean, we're not advocating that the kids go out and drive the car themselves. Mm. We're suggesting that they sit on the parent's lap and steer in an empty parking lot. Mm. You know, these are shared experiences for parents and kids together.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned earlier on the danger that if we don't allow children to have a certain amount of learning about fear and also finding things out for themselves, that can lead to problems in later life. Just what examples do you have of that? And how, I mean, are they just that you found from research? Is there any kind of science to back them up?
Well, there is good science to back it up, but I'm not a scientist. So I don't try to position myself that way. But let me ask you a hypothetical, if I may, Jonathan.
Sure.
At some point in their lives, everybody owns a pocket knife or a kitchen knife. You know, at what age should we introduce kids to knives? You know, is it in grammar school? Is it in high school? Mm. Is it when they graduate from college and they rent their first apartment that they own their first knife? Mm. And how safe is that person going to be alone in that kitchen with a knife that they've never used before to cut vegetables? Mm. You know,
when you're trying to explain that, I mean, you seem like a nice chap, and obviously your book's doing incredibly well stateside and due to do very well when it's out in the UK. But when you talk on a radio station that's going out across London, we're really aware of the problems that we've had in the past with teenage knife crime. Good Lord, you're in the States. You're well aware of teenage knife crime over there. I mean, how does that compare when you're sort of saying about we should teach children about knives and children, you know, we shouldn't get so hung up if they have a knife and all the rest of it? How does that sit as a balance between teaching them and educating them about having knives and possession of knives, and then also, by the same token, forbidding them from taking knives into school, worried about them having knives when they're out on the streets because they might use them or try and defend themselves and stuff?
Yes, well, that's got to be about learning responsibility and owning the opportunity to own a pocket knife as a, you know, as a 10 or 12 year old is about demonstrating responsibility for that. For that tool, you know, any tool can be sort of weaponized. You know, it's not it's not an inherent property in a pocket knife that it be seen as a weapon. It's really the first universal tool that many kids own, especially in rural America, given granted. But it can be a spatula, a screwdriver, you know, it can be for cutting things, for shaping wood, for, you know, it is a multi-purpose tool.
Mm.
And if we choose to see it as this most dangerous item, then, you know, the next thing we're going to see as dangerous is a fork. And we're all going to be given spoons in, you know, until we graduate from college.
Giever, I've got... go on, sorry.
Yes, go ahead.
No, I've got to ask you, but I couldn't possibly let you go without asking you about the Tinkering School. Now, you run something called the Tinkering School, which is based in San Francisco. What does one do at a Tinkering School?
Well, the Tinkering School is a summer program for kids. It's what we call a sleepover camp. So the kids stay with us for a week. They're given access to real tools, real materials, and we build real...
Hello there. No.
Oh.
No, don't worry. Sorry, that was our travel, the people there. No,
oh, sorry.
It's all right. Carry on.
So, real tools, real materials, and we build these real projects like roller coasters and sailboats, and most recently we built a hang glider. And these are all working objects. We took the sailboat out in the ocean and we sailed it. We took all the kids and parents rode on the roller coaster with 120 feet of track. The point of the experience at Tinkering School is to show the kids themselves just what they're really capable of in terms of their imaginations and what they can complete.
The book comes out in the UK. It's already available on a very well known website, beginning with A and ending in Amazon. but just lastly, any plans to bring out the Tinkering School to us over here in the UK?
Oh, yes. We're in discussion now with a couple of people in the UK and other continents as well to bring out new branches of the Tinkering School.
Well, listen, when you do and when you're over here, would you look us up and get in touch? I'd love to have you as a guest in the studio sometime, Giever.
Yes, of course. Thank you so much, Jonathan.
Thank you very much. Giever Tully there, the author of 50 Dangerous Things You Should Let Your Children Do. Your thoughts on that conversation, London? What do you think? Do you think he's got a point? Do you think it all sounds fabulous, but could you really put it in practice, this idea of tinkering schools, kids getting up to doing all kinds of things that maybe you did when you were younger, but would you allow them to do it now? And if they did do some of those things and you saw children doing some of those things, what would you make of it? Your thoughts, your calls this evening, 020-722-42000. The text is 07786-200-949. You can email me, lampon@bbc.co.uk. Let's get the latest travel now with Steve. Taking your calls this morning, it's not quite this morning yet, it's still quarter to midnight, so we are still in this evening, on them. The kind of things you got up to as a child. You heard me talking earlier on to Giever Tully, the author of 50 Dangerous Things You Should Let Your Children Do. He argues that we're not allowing our children to take risks. We're not allowing them to do dangerous things. We're not allowing them to go out and to do things that maybe we or maybe you would have done as a child. What kind of things did you get up to when you were younger?
Jonathan Lampard.
Right, let's go to Robert, who's in Croydon. Good evening to you, Robert. Now, tell me, were you a bit rough and tumble when you were younger, Robert?
Oh, yeah. You know, Jonathan, I've got to say at this point, I'll be careful what I do tell you, because it's. I heard young Harry there, but that means that children are still about, which means I've got to be careful. I can't tell you the real horror stories, you know?
No, well, I don't want to know any horror stories, but just, I mean, some of the things
I'll tell you the BBC-friendly ones,
yes,
you know?
Yes, do. Anything that's BBC-friendly, anything that means I've still got a job in the morning, I'm always gratefully received.
I hope you've got a 20-minute pause there, Jonathan, do you know what I mean? But, yeah. We used to build huts and put, you'd have rivers and we used to put little ropes on the trees and swing from one end to the other and all that, and you'd get like 10 jumping on at the same time, the rope would give way and you'd all end up in the river and, you know, we'd leap across tall buildings and, we used to get up to everything, Jonathan, you know. I mean, we used to wander all over Glasgow when we were like 11 and 12 and that, and we used to go to Ibrox or Parkhead football stadium, and back then you could get a lift over, and we got to Geezers and say, can you give us a lift over, mister, and that, and the guy would pick you up and throw you over the turnstile, and we used to work, and you collect ginger bottles and all that around building sites, you know, big dangerous building sites and that, and any gingies, mister, we used to call them. We used to go up to everything, as I say, we used to build tree huts, underground dens, huts, everything we've done, you know.
And you see, kids don't do that anymore, do they? They don't go and play out and all the rest of it. And I guess what I'm trying to get to tonight is that why is that? Is it because parents and you know, parents are afraid to? Is it because we hear of so many awful stories involving children that we're too afraid to let them go out and let them go and do things? Is it that we're worried about them hurting themselves and that kind of thing? I mean, I wonder what it is.
Well, I'll be honest with you. I heard the guy talking about the tinkering school, and I think I got it right. It's I mean, like, if you were talking about child inventions, I mean, if you had a big field and you had a couple of JCBs there and you had a couple of cars and you says to parents, look, you can drive that round here in a safe environment, and the dad was with the boys showing them how to work the JCB and all that, I think that'd be a good thing. But to do it in a shop, a Sainsbury's car park, I don't know if I'd be for that. But, you know,
he was talking about an empty, not sort of on a Saturday afternoon when everyone's trying to do their groceries.
Yeah, yeah, it's dodging shopping trolleys, you know what I mean? But yeah, no, I mean, I think it's just, Jonathan, I can't really put my finger on what's changed. I mean, I still see kids wandering about and that, and I suppose maybe it's an unseen thing that they do still get up to some of the things we used to get up to, but I don't know if it still goes on as much, you know. You need to ask kids that, I suppose, but I mean, I don't. Well, not to sound cliched, but it is a changing world, and it's a bit scary, isn't it? And I'll be honest with you, I wouldn't like my wee grandson to get up to some of the things we used to get up to.
But why is that? Why is that? What's the reasoning behind
scary.
That?
Yeah, I wouldn't want to see him getting hurt or anything. You know,
but you didn't get hurt, did you?
Yeah, I mean, I get impaled to railings and everything. I get damaged, yeah, of course, yeah. I mean, I've got the scars to prove it, you know what I mean? But, no, I mean, what I would say, though, is, where am I really? I will take him everywhere. I will, if I get the chance, and my health holds up, and God bless me and all that, I will take him everywhere. I mean, I'll take him to theatres and everything. My boy says to me, you're not taking him to any theatres. He's going to do boy things, like play football. And I says, well, we'll see, but I'll take him everywhere. I will, you know what I mean, if I get the chance. And take him to adventure parks and all that, and up into the woods and all that, you know what I mean? It's as long as we all look after him and that, make sure he's all right. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know, it's a thing, isn't it? You know, I think, looking back, Jonathan, if my man and dad's, it's not mum and dad, it's man and dad, if they knew what we were getting up to half the time, they'd have been horrified, you know? We just used to come back and that, and what do you do today, Robert? Oh, we're just playing up there and doing this and that, and you'd make up all sorts of excuses and that. You wouldn't tell them the truth, you know what I mean? But yeah, it was. See, I lived in a dangerous area. Where we lived, it was like they were surrounded by four big estates, and none of the estates really got on together. And wherever you went, it was a peril of terror, you know what I mean? So I lived in quite a rough old area. But yeah, we came through it, and, you know, we done all right in the end. And when I look back, we did lead a really adventurous childhood, I think, looking back now. But at the time, we just took it for granted, Jonathan.
And you were able to go out and do all those things. It's interesting,
yeah,
isn't
it?
You know, it is interesting. Listen, it's great to talk to you this evening, Robert. That is Robert in Croydon. I'd love to hear your calls, please. What kind of things did you get up to when you were younger? 020 722.